Narayana Namaskritcha Naram Chaivam Narottama Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 2, text 11. Vishnu Dvija Kriya Mulo Yajna Dharmamaya Puman Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam Dharmasya Cha Parayanam Vishnu Dvija Kriya Mulo Yajna Dharmamaya Puman Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam Dharmasya Cha Parayanam Vishnu Dvija Kriya Mulo Yajna Dharmamaya Puman Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam Dharmasya Cha Parayanam Vishnu Dvija Kriya Mulo Yajna Dharmamaya Puman Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam Dharmasya Cha Parayanam Vaishnavis. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dvija of the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, Kriyamula, whose root is the performance of yajna and the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. Yajna, personified yajna, Lord Vishnu, who is known as the Yajna Purusha. Dharmamaya, full of religious principles. Puman, the Supreme Person, Devarishi, the demigods and great rishis, like Vyasadeva and Narada. Pitri, of the forefathers. Bhutanam, of all living entities. Dharmasya, of the religious principles. Cha, also. Parayanam, the shelter. Translation. The basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods. The great Pitas, the people in general, and he's the shelter of the demigods, the Pitas, and the people in general. When the Brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the Kshatriyas to perform yajna, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. This is Hiranyakasipu rolling out his master plan here. Since Vishnu is the central point of Brahminical culture, Hiranyakasipu's plan was to kill Vishnu. For if Vishnu were killed, naturally the Brahminical culture would also be lost. With Brahminical culture lost, yajna would no longer be performed, and for want of yajna, the regular distribution of rainfall would cease. Yajyad bhavati parajanyam, Bhagavad Gita 3:14. Thus, there would be disturbances all over the world, and naturally, the demigods would be defeated. From this verse, we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Aryan civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Brahmins are stopped. Kalau Sudra Sambhava. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Sudras, the Brahminical culture is now lost, and it's extremely difficult to re-establish in the proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which will revive Brahminical culture very easily. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalu anishteva anishteva. Gatiranyataha, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, 1721. Because of the increment of demonic population, people have lost Brahminical culture. Nor is there a Kshatriya government. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any suitor can be voted into taking up the governmental reins and capturing the power to rule. Because of the poisonous effects of Kali Yuga, the Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam 12:2-13, says, Dashu Prayeshu Rajasu. The government will adopt the policy of Dashus, or plunderers. Thus, there will be no instruction from the Brahmins, and even if there are Brahminical instructions, there will be no Kshatriya rulers who can follow them. Aside from Satya Yuga, even formerly, in the days of when the demons were flourishing, Hiranyakasipu planned to destroy Brahminical culture and the Kshatriya government and thus create chaos all over the world. Although in Satya Yuga the plan is very difficult to execute, in Kali Yuga, which is full of sutras and demons, the Brahminical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, the Hare Krishna movement, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, or Hare Krishna Movement, has been inaugurated to revive Brahminical culture very easily, so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life and prepare for elevation in the next. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya quotes this verse from the Brahmananda Purana. Vipra-yagyari mulam tu harirdi asuram mata harireva hi sarvasya mulam samyan mato nripa. Quote. A king, O king, the demons think that Lord Hari, Lord Vishnu, exists because of the Brahmins and Yajna. But factually, Hari is the cause of everything, including the Brahmins and Yajna. End quote. Therefore, through popularizing the Hare Krishna, the Hare Kirtan, or the Sankirtan movement, the Brahminical culture and Kshatriya government will automatically come back, and the people will become very happy. Om Agyanata Varandasya Gyanagyana Salakaya Jagshushun Militangina Hey! Tasmadeshi Gurave Namaha. Hey, I got a plan, don't worry. Everybody's got a plan. Actually, before we start, I'd like to ask for some blessings. I'm a relatively new sannyasi, trying to be sannyasi, and I'm often introduced with the term Your Holiness. And the only way I can accept that is a little changing of the spelling and that I'm full of holes. So because I am full of anartas and holes like Swiss cheese, I just ask for your blessings that please, can I say something useful and pleasing to you? Then our time together will be well spent. I also apologize to the translators, wherever you are. I speak quickly, and I wish you all good luck. I'll try to go slowly, but we all have either blessed or cursed by our particular natures. I was listening some time ago to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, 1969, New York, and he's speaking from Bhagavad Gita. And he's talking about the cycle or the wheel of life. That's Prabhupada's actual word, cycle or wheel of life. And he's saying, you offer sacrifice, so you please the demigods provide rain, therefore you get grains, and everybody's happy. And Prabhupada said it's a wheel or chakra of Dharma. And Prabhupada said the wheel is meant to turn. So here we see Krishna's arrangement for this world. There's a wheel of Dharma, and everyone has their role to play, and they push it, and the wheel turns, and everyone is happy. Prabhupada's talking about how they're all sudras. So how this world is going on, what is it, Socrates? Know thyself and to thine own self be true. So we should first know what is our position? Who am I? What's going on in this world? So we find that same inquiry. It's frankly what makes a man different from an animal. But we're looking for the cause of all causes. Of course, we found the cause of all causes that make that wheel turn. But they're also looking for the cause of all causes. But because, as Prabhupada says, they're sudras, fools. They have so many ideas. I heard another tape. Prabhupada was using a word called adrista. He says adrista means, there's no such word, Prabhupada says, there's no such word as accident in the Vedic tradition. They use instead the word adrista, which means there's a cause. We just don't see it, or we just don't know it. So people are stumbling along without knowing how this whole wheel is turning and where I fit in it. So they're searching it out in their own way. As Prabhupada says, here in the purport, everyone is born sudra. The common sense, that basic common sense, is lost. My mother, who's passed away now, she went to the doctor, and she had one condition. They gave her a pill for it, but the pill had a side effect, caused headaches. Doctor said, not to worry, we have a pill for that. So now she's on two pills, but that caused another side effect. They gave her another pill. Now she's on three pills. Finally, she got up to five pills. She told the doctor, this is depressing. Doctor said, we've got a pill for that. So my mom and I said, well, we're out of here. We're finding another doctor, But they're looking for the cause of causes, but all they're doing is compounding the problem because they don't know the root. One of my favorites. I couldn't make this stuff up if I wanted to. Go home, Google dark matter. You know what dark matter is? Dark matter, in order to hold the cosmos together, it should do one of two things according to their understanding of physics. It should either completely spin out, by centrifugal force, whatever, it spin out, or it should completely implode on itself. And the reason it stays where it is because of certain gravitational
forces, pushes and pulls that hold everything in place. We know it's Balaram, but they've got their speculative idea. So, what to do? The problem is, you know, gravity is created by mass, so to get the right gravitational pulls, there's certain that needs to be a certain amount of mass. They can't find it. It's called dark matter. It's over 90% of the matter in their universe to make their whole equations fit together and explain creation. They don't know where it is. Suppose I open Vajrayan Swami's convenience store. Best and cheapest. You come on and you buy something. Suppose you give me $100, you buy a $10 item. And I say, thank you very much, Jai. Close the cash register. Well, hey, where's my change? I said, no, it's there. They're just dark dollars. It's laughable. But that is the cornerstone of astrophysics. Dark matter. One devotee told me a joke. He said, dark matter, antimatter, it doesn't matter. They're in a fog. It's my duty to tell some jokes, so there it is. You know, a bird flies in the sky according to its ability. But the Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada said when they asked him, some man was talking about missing link. I was actually there. Prabhupada said to the man, the missing link is my foot in your face. only Prabhupada could. Prabhupada said later on, he said, I can say this, but you cannot. Prabhupada said, an old man can go anywhere and say anything. You know, people always, Prabhupada's taking a humble role like that. And there's another, I was listening to another tape, and, you know, a man's talking about creating life, and Prabhupada said, fine, prove it. You know, don't make these, they make so many unfounded claims, and nobody calls them on it. Prabhupada was the brave, calling them on it. You say you can create life, fine. Prabhupada said, take a car. If it runs out of gas, you put gas in it and the car runs, isn't it? Simple thing. You know, something goes at you, you fix the wire, the machine works. So Prabhupada said, fine. Prabhupada said, take plastic and make an egg shape. Fill it full of chemicals and see if you can produce a chicken. Prabhupada told the men, sit on it and see if you can produce a chicken. what do you say when somebody says that to you? Again, about evolution, Prabhupada said, and you've probably heard it, but Prabhupada said, what evolution? The man was sitting right there. Prabhupada said, what evolution? You're still monkeys. Prabhupada said, actually, your ancestors may be monkeys. He said, but my ancestors are the great Vedic sages. So, and we're going to move on to something else, but I just want to do a little setup here. One of my favorites, again, you can Google it, is Parkes Observatory in Australia. It's got one of those giant telescopes. NASA uses it to trace things. It's one of the best in the world. Parkes, I don't know where it is. Somebody, we have any Aussies here, they'll know where it is. For 17 years, they have been producing scientific papers printed in Scientific America, they were saying, we have found what must be two dark stars colliding. It's either a red dwarf dwarf star being born, or two, dark stars colliding. 17 years, accolades, clapping, you know what it turned out to be? The microwave oven in the staff kitchen. That's what they were recording. And they only, you put whatever's in there, you push it for 2.5 minutes, and they opened it a little bit early. So if they opened the door early before the bell ring, ding, they got some burst. And that's what they were recording. Caltech, MIT, IIT, oh yes, it was a microwave oven. So they are groping. They don't know what's going on. And people just buy it. The fact of the matter, as being described here, is that the universe is finely tuned. It is designed by Krishna. It is a machine. It is a wheel of Dharma that's meant to turn according to the principles that Krishna has given. That's how the thing works. The The wheel is turning, but surprise of surprises, the wheel is turning, but surprise of surprises, it's not turning our way. We're trying to get in there and turn it the other, but this is the way it works, and it's the only way it works. Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was saying no to Krishna. Arjuna was saying no to Krishna. Krishna was saying, I want you to fight, and Arjuna was saying no. He had his idea. Prabhupada would take terms and turn them in a different way. So Prabhupada said the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita was to get Arjuna to say yes to Krishna. To turn Arjuna from a no man to a yes man. So in America they have this saying, yes man, but Prabhupada heard it in a different way, to turn someone from a no man to a yes man. So we have a choice. We can try to dominate this material nature. We have the archetype example here, Hiranyakasipu. How to control things. Everything's under my control. It goes my way. Or we can recognize our actual position is a small cog in the machine and it goes Krishna's way. We can try to control or we can cooperate. And so the theme of this little talk is the wisdom of surrender. We have the IIT, when it comes to a topper, is the top graduate in Caltech, whatever it is. But is that actually intelligence? So we wanted to talk a little bit about that. In the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's talking about the first step in God realization. And it's that recognition that I am dependent. I'm not the controller. I could get struck by lightning, you know, if your prayers are answered. You know, I could get struck by lightning. Anything can happen. A man in San Diego, one of the top attorneys, was on his way to court, and he fell in a manhole and was killed. Somebody left a lid off. Gone. Another man, this is one of my favorites, he was walking in El Cajon, and Vaikuntha Prabhu's here, knows El Cajon. It's called, the Spanish term El Cajon means the box. They're literally sealed in a box of ignorance. A man is walking down the street in El Cajon, you know, going to do whatever he's, you know, happily walking down the road. He was hit by a lime green bowling ball, fell out of the sky, hit him in the chest and killed him. Anyone want to ask where the lime green bowling ball came from? A man was flying to a bowling competition in Las Vegas. His engine failed in his airplane. He's trying to throw ballast out. You know, he's throwing weight. He threw his bowling ball in this little case out, the ball, and zzz, bam. And anybody here expect to get hit by a bowling ball today? Of course, you're in the Holy Dham. It may be an auspicious thing, but we are to, you know, Govindadas says, like a drop of water on the lotus leaf tottering. That's our actual position. So the first step of God realization is the recognition that we are dependent, that the universe is going on by design. I'm not going to take up time, but we all know wherever you see order, pattern, symmetry, there's intelligence behind it. That is our universal experience. There's order, pattern, symmetry. Behind that is intelligence, and behind intelligence is a person. Universal experience since time immemorial. And yet in Kali Yuga, they scratch their head and think, oh no. One man, MIT, I think his name is Stephen Gould, I'm not sure. He said that the universe, you know, singularity, everything comes from nothing. He said the universe is the original free lunch. Everything came from nothing. And we're supposed to swallow this stuff? So, the Vedic view, as being mentioned here, is to see how everything is going on by Krishna's design. How we're actually dependent. And that dependency is not a weak-willed, you know, oppressive, but it's out of, they call it Mother Earth. It's a loving sense of indebtedness and gratitude. And if one is, gratitude without reciprocation is meaningless. Like Prabhupada says, you know, Prabhu, can you get me a glass of water? And the devotee says, Jai Prabhu. But doesn't move. You know, Prabhu, I got water, don't worry. But, you know, Prabhu, I'm really getting thirsty here. Can you get me some water? Jai Prabhu. Jai. You know, what is the proof that he heard me? What is the proof of hearing? Mataji, what's the proof of hearing? Action. It's meant to cause an act. It's meant to make the wheel turn. Something's supposed to happen. So here we have Hiranyakasipu, just contextual history. You know, what is his reaction? His reaction is revenge, is anger, is devastation, you know, rage against the universe. Prabhupada was in Detroit, I forget the year. He came twice, so it was after we had Devasadan Mandir, so I'm thinking 75, 76, something like that. And he was sitting out in the garden, afternoon. Everything was designed to bloom in the spring. Prabhupada gave it the name Devasadan Mandir, place of the demigods, because everything, you know, tree, you know, whatever, I'm a gardener, I can tell you the types of trees. Everything's in bloom, purple and yellow, and it's just beautiful. Prabhupada's sitting out in the garden, and there's a canal that comes off the Detroit River, which has caught on fire three times and took 4 days to put out. That shows you what I mean. But there's a canal. And this man was going, and people would go on their boat. So this man goes on his boat in the canal, and he couldn't have been more than, well, whatever. What's the distance? Say, a little further than this, away from Srila Prabhupada. And he got up in his boat, and he started shouting. He said, I know you, Hare Krishna people. He said, you've got those big houses, you've got those, you know, big festivals, and you're always feasting. And he was going on and on like this. Furious. When he ran out of steam, Prabhupada said, yes, come and join. The guy completely blew a gasket. You know, he didn't expect that, you know. Prabhupada didn't deny it at all. Yes. They asked Prabhupada one time, a newspaper reporter, what do you do for recreation? Prabhupada said, what? He said, our whole movement is recreation. My father used to joke with me that I retired at 17 and a half. I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I mean, we work hard for Krishna, but ours is a labor of love. You know, it's a different type of thing. It's not a burden, but a labor of love. So, the wisdom of surrender begins with a recognition of our actual position. I was at the drugstore, you know, I don't know what you call it here, whatever, chemist shop or whatever it was, you know. I was buying something, I'm there with a cashier, and there was somebody trying to get out, and they were pushing on the door and pushing on the... Now, the cashier said, it says pull. Oh, okay. And they pulled the thing, they cut out, you know. So we're like that, you know, we're hammering against it. Hey, it doesn't work that way, my friends. Just give it a pull, it'll work just fine. So we just follow Krishna's instructions. We're part and parcel of Krishna. We're servants of Krishna. Everything will come. Again, talking about Hiranyakasipu, and that Prabhupada says in one lecture, we have a little Hiranyakasipu inside our heart, all of us. And certainly I do. I know that. You're all saintly, but certainly me. That attempt to control events... And we're going to talk about that in a second. Answered and unanswered prayers. Somebody help me. That's what I want to talk about. But we all have that. We're trying desperately to control events. But the Prabhupada calls it the childlike innocence of bhakti. It's one of those great sutras by Prabhupada. Not childish, as if foolish or uneducated, but the childlike innocence of bhakti. It's like when somebody said, nah, I'm going to tick somebody off, but par for the course. Someone was asking about astrology. I'm in a Venus period. You know, we've all heard it before, you know. Prabhupada said, with one kick, Krishna can kick 10,000 Rahu planets. And when Krishna was born, Krishna appeared, I should say, what happened? All the planets aligned themselves. Whatever their natural alignment, they all readjusted themselves. Isn't it? So for the devotee, he surrenders to Krishna, and he just that childlike innocence of bhakti. Krishna arranges things. We're under the Krishna shelter, and we shouldn't make so many think that we cannot control events. I'm 63 years old, and believe me, I have learned that. You heard 40 or 30, it may not have gotten through yet. By the time you're my age... So, but what can we control? We can't control events. What can we control? We can control how we respond to events. We can't control the event, but we can rage like Hiranyakasipu. We can try to manipulate everything. What is that? Who is the poet? I think it's Dylan Thomas. But do not go gently into that long good night. He's talking about getting old and then dying. Do not go gently into that long dark night, but rage, rage, rage against the dimming of the light. Well, you can rage till hell freezes over. The light's going out, my friend, you know? So, that's simple. The question is, because we're trying to control, we're talking about surrender. Well, okay, I'm surrendering to Krishna. Why doesn't he answer my prayers? Unanswered prayers. We accept God is all-powerful. Anyone want to argue that God's not all-powerful by definition? Okay, we have a shared platform. God is all-powerful. Anyone deny or want to argue? I have a crack at it. Go ahead. That God's not all-merciful? I mean, they are cornerstone principles. And there's many more, but all-powerful and all-merciful. Now, I'm offering a prayer. You know, whether I'm offering it by lighting a candle or, you know, tying a cloth or, you know, sending up a prayer flag or whatever it is, I'm offering my prayers. God's not answering. Now, if he's all-powerful, that means he could answer it if he wanted to, isn't it? He's all-powerful, so he could do it. Well, then why doesn't he if he's all-merciful? Why not? If he's all-powerful, he has the ability. If he's all-merciful, he has the kind Karuna heart. Why doesn't he do it? Well, guess what? Maybe he knows what's best for us. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to be president of the United States. Thank heaven that didn't work out. So, I mean, you're all great souls who took birth to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But I thought it was a bright idea to come to this material world. You want to talk about original sin? You know, the original fool. That's not original sin. Let's say original foolishness. We thought it was a great idea to come to this world. Now, I mean, everything after that is just downhill. We made such a huge, stupid mistake. And then, oh, we're going to make a right idea? So that what we're asking for, what we want, what we think we need, what do we know? We should simply think, let me serve Krishna. Let me engage in Krishna's devotional service. And if he doesn't answer my prayers, there's a good reason. Prabhupada said, I was on one tape. Prabhupada says, he had just taken sannyas. He was in Vrindavan. And he was gored by a bull. And Prabhupada said, I was thinking, I've surrendered to you. I'm here in Vrindavan. I'm trying to preach. Why has this happened? And then Prabhupada says, but then later on, I understood. He doesn't to say why, but he says, later on I understood. So we've all had that experience. We thought something was great, we didn't get it, and it worked out for the better. So we have to, Krishna's playing the long game. We're playing the short game. You know, I got a scratch, I itch it. You know, it's just stimulus response, stimulus. We may be a little more sophisticated, but basically it's stimulus response. But Krishna's got the long game. He's trying to deliver us from this material world. He's trying to purify our hearts. He's trying to pull us out of this place. I mean, what if it's true? Just think about it for a minute. Everything we read, beautiful, sweet Krishna, wonderful pastimes. I was there in LA. Prabhupada said in the spiritual, everything here in this world is a struggle. Anyone want to doubt that? I mean, just stand up. A muscle can pop, you can fall over, make a garland, you can stick yourself in the thumb. I mean, where do we start? Earthquake. I live in San Diego. Earthquakes, tidal waves, drive-by shootings, fires, what else? But there's always a sea breeze blowing. It's not such a nice place, you know? So, I'm thinking of the time. You know, there's a saying, the best laid plans of mice and men do oft go astray. Hiranyakasipu has his plan to control and to dominate as the archetype conditioned soul raging against how the wheel of the universe is turning. And Krishna has got him at both ends of the spectrum. It's very far out if you think about it. He's, you know, here he is, and he has, you know, sometimes somebody's proud, like me, but I have no reason, I have no qualifications for being proud. If you look at Hiranyakasipu, he actually had some reasons to be proud. I mean, he was no slow, as they say in America. You know, all the demigods, he raised his eyebrow, they're all trembling. He was a powerful person. And Krishna, how does Krishna deal with it? First off, on the one end of the spectrum, the micro end of the spectrum, his own little son, his sweet little son, Prahlad. Five-year-old. Do we have any five-year-old boys or girls here? I mean, anyone who knows? You're older, I know, don't worry. But I mean, what can they do? They're completely dependent. Their mother's there tying their shoe. They don't even, you know. I ran away from home once, and I asked my father, could he give me a ride to the corner so I could run away, you know? He had to take me in his car. It's a long story, I'll spare you because of time factor, but... Well, anyway, he pinned a note on me. He pinned a note on me that sort of let me out at the corner. Said, you know, well, you're old enough. I think it's very good that you've made this decision, and, you know, don't forget to write. And I, you know, trying to not burst into tears, but you think I'm arrogant now, you should have seen me even then. So I stormed, I made it about half a block. My father's followed at a short distance, you know, to keep an eye on me, you know. And then he pulled up next to me and said, so how's it going, you know? How's independent life, you know? I said, oh, you know, I just jumped into the car and never ran away again until I joined the Hare Krishna movement. So Krishna's like that. He gives us our independence, but he's there at every moment, just waiting for us to finally, for the light bulb to go on, you know? So he sends his little son, Prahlad. He's completely defeated by Prahlad. Defeated in every way. Everyone's afraid of him. And Prahlad says, you know, my dear best of the demons, he's completely unafraid. And on the other end of the spectrum, I mean, we've got so many plans. Could he have possibly, Hiranyakasipu, possibly calculated that Lord Nrisingadev was going to pop out of that pillar, half man, half lion, all the benedictions fulfilled, you know, nails which are not living or not dead, the doorstep not inside, not out, all the fine print was mashed, and he was looking at this huge, what is it, his mane touching the sky. He was Abhuta Nrisinga. He was stunned. So on the small side, on the big side, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakasipu, he was completely stymied, defeated. We're not even in the game. We're not even in that league. So we should cooperate rather than try to dominate. There is a GBC man. I don't want to embarrass him. And there was a GBC meeting. He told me this story personally. There was a GBC meeting, and there was some decision that he didn't like. I know that may be shocking, but it happens sometimes. Your temple president, your husband, your wife, whatever. We all make decisions that, you know, may rankle us a bit. So he was not happy, and he went to Prabhupada, and he was telling all the reasons he wasn't happy. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. Whatever you've decided, like the Pandavas, you execute. They argued, you know, Bhima and Arjun wanted to fight admittedly, Yudhisthira was counseling, right time, right place, right circumstance. So, Prabhupada said, whatever's been decided, you just follow. And if there's some mistake, Krishna will fix it. Krishna will adjust. And answer, take it or leave it. Krishna will fix it. So, the devotee, the GBC member, bowed down, but he was thinking, yeah, but how long will... You know how the mind runs. He was thinking, yeah, but how long is that going to take? And, you know, and as he came up, Prabhupada slammed his hand down and said, but not in your time, in his time. So, I mean, that's not... If there's something, we have a duty to fix inequities, injustices. Sometimes we think spiritual doesn't mean moral. I'm not talking about motive goodness, but a strain of ethics has to run. If you throw a rock in a pond, there's concentric circles that go out. You know what I'm talking about? Picture the impact in smaller circles. So on the spiritual plane, it includes morality. It includes ethics. It includes kindness. It includes all of those factors. It has to, or it's hollow. It's faux spiritualism. So no doubt we have a duty to speak up, we have a duty to do the best we can, we have a duty to right inequities. I'm not saying that. You know, just accept and I have a tooth that's rotting in my head. Okay, well, I guess that's Krishna's arrangement. I'll just accept it, you know. Prophets and devotees are fearless, but we're not fools, you know. So we have intelligence, we should use it. But in the ultimate issue, we just accept. All right, Krishna, you'll take care of it in your time. Either you'll take care of it and it'll be adjusted in this, you know, we all want to see it within our own. I want to see it in my lifetime. I want to see justice done. But we go back to Godhead. And if that's what it took, who's going to complain if whatever difficulty, and we've had so many difficulties in life, where do you want to start? So even if, not even if, when we experience difficulty, when you're all back to Godhead, put a prayer in for me, when you're all back to Godhead, are you going to complain? Well, you know, three lives ago you broke up my marriage and my husband ran off with another person, or, you know, that car accident, I really banged up my knee, but all of it fits together. If you look at the Pandavas, Prabhupada said they were being hunted in the forest like animals. When they were in the banishment, that's Prabhupada's exact words. They were being hunted in the forest like animals. They were fleeing from here and there for their lives. And yet we find in this ashram, they met one rishi, and they helped him with this and that, and he gave you a benediction, here's a certain weapon. You know, Yudhisthira was here and gave a good advice to a king, and that king said, if you ever need me, you call on me. And if you look at the Mahabharata and you put all the pieces together, you can see how Krishna was simply preparing them for success on the battlefield. Of course, ultimately everything depends on Krishna, but he was preparing them for success on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna's preparing us for success at the time of death. That's all that matters. Ante Narayana Smriti. What happens at the time of death? Do I, you know, door number one, door number two? Do I pick the small potatoes or do I surrender to Krishna? Do I remember Krishna? So, if we understand what the nature of the game is, the activity, let me remember Krishna at the time of death and go back home, back to God, then what it takes to get there will be a minor issue. The Bhagavatam is full of compare and contrast. You know, it's full of success stories and the archetype fools. I mean, Shakespeare could never touch it. It's full, I mean, it's just wonderful. And I was thinking a few of these. Of course, here we have right in front of us, in this section of the Bhagavatam, we have, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, innocent and defenseless. And you have someone so powerful that he moves his eyebrows and the demigods are afraid. And yet that small boy is completely fearless and completely victorious. So much so that that small boy delivers the father. It's an amazing thing. So I was thinking in the same way. You have, as I mentioned, you've got the Pandavas and the Kurus. By all material calculation, the Kurus should have completely, Krishna said, it's right there, should have completely defeated them. And yet they became successful. You've got Ambarish and Devarsamuni. I mean, Devarsamuni went all the way to the spiritual world, isn't it, in that 1 year period? So such a powerful, he pulls out one hair and a big demon comes up. Ambarish just folds his hands, and yet we have Devarsamuni ultimately falling down at the feet of Ambarish, please forgive me. Ambarish's response, if I have anything pious, any good credit, you please take it. So, and I was thinking about Srila Prabhupada. Everything was against it. Any of us who were at that age, you know, I remember the mantra, dogs run free, sorry translators, wherever you are, dogs run free, so why can't we? That was a mantra. Of course, maybe I'm not a dog. That thought never hit. But the fact of the matter is, Prabhupada was completely against the social current. Anti-war. The nation was being torn apart about the Vietnam War, with everybody under 40 saying, "Don't do it. Stop." Prabhupada speaking from Bhagavad Gita. It's an amazing thing. If you think, I mean, we could just go down the line. Everybody wants to grow their hair, Prabhupada saying, shave up, you know. It's just, it's exactly cross currents. They asked Prabhupada, why did you come to America? Prabhupada said, well, one of my godbrothers went to London, some godbrothers went, and they failed. Another godbrother went to Scandinavia, I don't know, Sweden, I think, he failed. Another one went to Germany, he failed. Prabhupada said, in his own sweet humility, he said, well, if I'm going to fail, at least let me fail in a new place. That's what, you know. But the fact of the matter, we know that Prabhupada is a great bhakta, a great general. He knew, you turn America, you turn the world. And it worked against all odds. So that wisdom of surrender, that let me just surrender to Krishna's message, Krishna's words, what Krishna's doing in my life, let me surrender to that. That's actual wisdom. You can rage against the dimming of the light. You can rage against the machine, and your cold fingers will be torn away. What is it, Shakespeare? Sans hair, sans teeth, sans everything. We're stripped of everything. When you go into the Vatican, there's a skull. And the skull is first thing that greets you. I mean, they get some things right. First thing that greets you, and it is a skull. And it's, how does it go? He says, "You are what I once was. I am what you will become." I mean, that's pretty heavy. Skull's right there. You are what I once was. You know, happy with my little camera and my shorts and, you know, wow, looking at my little tour guide, you know. I was also once happy skipping along the lane. But I am what you will become. No one gets... When I was first devotees I met, Shukadeva, I can never repay him. I thought I was a golden boy kissed by the gods. I was living in Laguna Beach where the sea breezes are always blowing, you know, on course. If I just stayed on the conveyor belt, if I didn't jump off, everything was going to be just great. And Shukadev, I was talking to him, and you know, what is it, you know, this world is suffering, this and that. I said, maybe for you. Like the bumper sticker, those who, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. There's a bumper sticker you see in America. Those who say, money can't buy happiness, don't know where to shop. So I was thinking, yeah, you know, maybe, you know, you're a goodwill willy who can't get it together. I'm having a great time. So sensing that arrogance, the last thing he said to me as he turned away, he said, you know, there's one thing about this world. I said, yeah, what? He said, nobody gets out alive. And it kept rattling around in my head. My whole, you know, have you ever seen those buildings, they blow out the linchpins and the whole thing collapses like a, you know, telescope? It blew out my whole worldview. Everything collapsed. So, they have everything in America, everything foolish. They have dog races. Yeah, it's true. They're greyhounds. It's a particular type of dog. Anyone who knows in America, and it's very sleek and thin, has a long pointed nose, and shing, they can run as fast as a cheetah. So they have dog races, especially in Miami, but they have them in Southern California too. And what they do is, you know, all the dogs are there, and they take a wounded or dead rabbit, and they wave it in front of the, and they smell the blood, and they get super agitated. And they're ready to go, right? They're ready to go. And then what they have is a little metal fake rabbit. It's on a track. Zing! That fake rabbit takes off. They're all racing after the thing as fast as they can. And they race around, and you know, whatever dog gets to the end. They never get the rabbit. But what happens? No, it's true. That's the important point. What happens every now and then, they get a dog who, you know, they run once a week, once a month. I don't know how every day. I don't know how often they're running. Around again. And every now and then they get a dog who says, wait a minute. What am I running for? I'm never going to get this damn thing. I mean, this darn thing. I'm never going to get it. And why? Well, I'm knocking myself out and I just come back to the exact same spot. I'm going to have to do it tomorrow. I'm done. I'm out of here. I quit. They literally get dogs who won't run. They just stop. And once they're like that, they're done. They're finished. You can never retrieve them. Because the light went on. Why am I knocking myself out for nothing? When are we, speaking to myself, are going to have the brains of a dog? I've done it. You know, I've been up to Burma. I've been Indragopa. I've done it again and again and again. And what have I... It's the same story. What have I got to show for it? And soon, someday the light goes on and says, wait a minute. You know, fool me, what is it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. How many times have we been fooled? When are we going to wake up? And that's the message of Bhagavatam. The wisdom of surrender. Just surrender to Krishna and get out of the game. So, you know, one last thing. Actually, two things. And then we'll be done. And it's my duty to tell a joke. So here's a joke. A man makes a deal with the devil, Faustian deal. And the devil, the man says, just look, here's the deal. You give me everything I want in this life, and then I'll go to hell. But this life, whatever I want, wherever I look, everything's under my control, everything is surrenders to me, whatever I want, I get. Women, wealth, fame, I got it all. And then, you know, when I die, I'll go to hell. So the devil says, okay, no problem. And it's working. You know, he's president of the United States, wins the Nobel Peace Prize, has, you know, been married and divorced 15 times, each to a movie star and an upgrade, you know. Everybody does exactly what he wants. Everyone surrenders to his will. And after a while, it becomes quite boring. And after boring, it begins to wear on him a while. It becomes a little irritating. And after irritation, it actually becomes horrible. And he becomes so frustrated, he says to the devil, come take me now, I'm ready to go to hell. The devil says, what go? You're already there. But without that sense of service and devotion and love for Krishna, get everything you want. It will not make us happy. It's not the way the wheel turns. It's not the way we're made. And it is so nice, we're standing in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even Krishna, the controller of all things, comes and plays the role of a devotee. And he wants to see what Radharani's tasting. What is that service mood? What is she experiencing? She's enjoying more than me. So, fine, get whatever you want, become Haranyakasipu with no Prahlad and no Lord Nrisingadev, and it ultimately becomes hell. So, the last line of the purport, it's one of those, you know, closing sutras by Prabhupada, the last line. It says, you popularize Hari Kirtan, Brahminical culture, Kshatriya government will automatically be revived, and the people will become extremely happy. That's what's in this simple chanting of the holy name. Our simple putting on festivals, distributing books, giving them Divya Gyan, giving them Krishna Prasadam, this popularizing the Sankirtan movement. That one simple act. What happens? Brahminical culture is reestablished, Kshatriya government falls into place, and the people become extremely happy. So we have Jayadvaita Swami told me one time that he was in New York City, JFK, and he was changing some money. This is the last thing I'm going to say. He was changing some money. I guess I'll say it this way. Have you seen that 50th anniversary magazine? I mean, it's great. I would join that movement. You look at the thing, you know, it's all the festivals, all the prasadam, the deities, the temple, the philosophy. It's just fantastic. You look at that thing and you think, wow. I'm going to connect the two, don't worry. Jayadvaita Swami, he's at JFK and he's changing some money. And a typical New Yorker in her Brooklynese, she looks up at him. You know, he's dressed nice sannyasi. She, you know, tilak, sika. She says, that's what I like about you people. You are what you pretend to be. It's an American thing. She meant to say, you are what you're supposed to be, you know? So I'm speaking to myself, believe me. Don't be who... We're not... Look at that magazine. That's the potential that's in this movement. And that's what the world is crying for. If there was a baby crying here, just crying, you know, we would, you know, go on for some time. But if the baby is in distress, you think, where's the mother? Where's the father? How can we help? You can't tolerate. In San Diego, They renovated the downtown. They spent millions of dollars. Maybe Vike Rima, but I don't know, it was like $300 million. It was a cesspool, and they renovated the thing. The problem is they didn't make any plan what to do with the homeless people that were there. So you go down, you're having your $300 dinner of fermented grape juice and bones and feathers and dry beasts, and you're having your meal there at $300 with a tip. But you got some homeless guy pressing his nose on the window. You know, it's kind of hard to get into the mood. Spoils the whole thing. You know, you walk out of the store with your $1,000 cashmere coat and there's a guy lying in the gutter. It really, you know, spoils the vibe. So they called in, true story, a Blue Ribbon Commission, best city planners around the world. spent 6 months preparing the plan. The heart of the solution, announced with great fanfare, was for the shopkeepers, the restaurant owners, put up curtains. Put up curtains. That way you can enjoy your meal and you won't see the man dying in the gutter. Hey, you don't see it, it's not there, don't worry about it. We are not meant to be like that. We know what's wrong. We know the cause, we know the solution, and we have the sweetest medicine. It is so sweet just to take. It's not bitter, it's not difficult. Who can't eat? Prabhupada says, anyone here? Anyone have a problem taking prasadam? So, let us close on this note. And I'm speaking to myself, don't worry. Rather than trying to be in the mood of Hiranyakasipu, to control, to dominate, to rage against the machine, we should have the wisdom of surrender, to see which way the wheel is turning. Find our place. Doesn't matter where you fit in that wheel, but fit in the wheel of the Sankirtan mission. Put your shoulder to the wheel and push it forward. And let us become the Hare Krishna movement that is in that 50th magazine. The world is crying and waiting for us. The time is now. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. And it's 9:01. I'll see you later, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I did answer it. Where were you, my friend? Hare Krishna.